All right, I want you to get your year verse out, and we're gonna go over it a few times. Last night I had a first. I had someone send me a video of them saying the year verse. She's hiding. Charlie, Renee's little one, sent me a video, and she said the verse. Great job, by the way. Great job, Charlie, saying the verse. And I've got it on my phone. My phone's in there if you want to see it afterwards. So we have proof. So let's say our year verse together. Of course, our theme is what? What is our theme? Praying together. Praying together. And so that's what our verse is focusing on. And I really believe that as we continue to pray together this year, we're going to see the Spirit of God move in a mighty way, just like the Spirit of God moved in Acts chapter 4. All right, here we go. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. All right, one more time. Here we go. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. All right. So who's going to say it today? I want at least three to say it. Jim, it's your birthday. No. You can say it? All right. Go ahead.
Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Yes. Great job. Happy birthday, Jim. And thank you. All right. That's a strong start. That's a strong start. Amy, I bet you could follow it. Okay.
All right. Acts 4:31. And
right.
The place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
Yes. Good job. Impressive. That's two for two. All right. Who's going to make it a trifecta? All right. Okay, Lauren.
All right. Acts 4:31. And by the way, this is the NASB version. Well, I hope this doesn't count. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled Holy Spirit, and begin to speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Amen. Good job, Lauren. Carolyn, did you have it? Okay, go ahead. Yes. And they were all?
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God for both.
Amen. Good job, Connie. All right, Jeff, next week. Next week. You're on the line. Anyone else ready to go? Man, you guys are firing out today. Place in which they would gather together was shaken.
Shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to pray the Word of God with boldness.
Thank you. All right. Good job, guys. Good job. Well, today I would like to kind of help lead us into our praying together as we prayer walk after our service. And so I want you to look, turn with me. We're going to begin in Acts 4:31. And so go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. So if you remember, in Acts 3 and 4, the disciples were arrested. Peter and John were arrested. And can somebody tell me why they were arrested? Why were they arrested? Does anybody know? What were they doing? They were proclaiming the good news of the gospel. So they had healed the man who was lame, and then as people gathered around them, they started to proclaim the gospel and call on people to repent of their sin and to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to turn to God. And so as they're preaching the gospel and people are responding to that, the religious leaders are not happy. So they arrest them and they bring them out the next day, and they want to hear what they have to say. And remember, after Peter and John proclaim the gospel to the religious leaders then do what? They threaten them. They threaten them to no longer proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. They threaten them that if you continue to do this, trouble is coming your way. And so they try to intimidate, they try to strike fear in their hearts, and when the disciples come back, they gather together, the scripture says, they gather together with the church, and they report what has happened, and they pray to the Lord together, and the request of their prayer in verse 29, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness." So that's the request. Lord, we've been threatened that we better keep our mouths shut. We've been threatened to no longer talk about Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection and the need to repent and the need to believe in Jesus. We've been threatened. And Lord, you've seen their threats. And God, they're trying to scare us, they're trying to intimidate us. Lord, we pray that you will grant to us boldness so that we will continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at our year prayer, our year verse, which focuses on praying together, the main thrust of that prayer has to do with telling people about Jesus. That's kind of what the prayer is all about. Lord, continue to grant us boldness so that we may continue to speak your word. And 31 is the answer to that prayer. And when they had prayed together, the place in which when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they continue to do? They continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They continued to tell people about Jesus Christ. So as we, at the end of our service here in just a little bit, those of you that are going to walk with us and we're going to pray, one of the things that we're praying for is we're praying for the salvation of our neighborhood. We're praying that our neighborhood will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will repent of their sins and that they will turn to God for grace and salvation, and that God will enable us as a church to proclaim the Word of God with boldness. That God will enable us as a church to not be ashamed of the gospel. So essentially what we're really, the main thing that we're praying for is we're praying for salvation. We're praying for people to be saved. We're praying for people to come to know Jesus. And I think that when we pray for salvation, there's a huge battle that goes on in our mind, in our heart. And one battle is, we wonder whether God is really able to save. How many of you in here have family members who are unsaved? Raise your hand if you have family members unsaved. How many of you, when you're praying for your family members, in the back of your mind, you struggle with doubt whether God can save them or whether they will be saved? You know, you kind of just wonder if they will ever be saved. Raise your hand if you struggle with it. I mean, I struggle with that. Whether they will be saved, and so there's doubting whether, man, they've so long they've gone without knowing the Lord, so long they've resisted the Lord, so long they've turned away from the Lord. And so sometimes in our minds we doubt whether God is willing. We doubt the willingness of God, and then sometimes we doubt the power of God. And what I want to do today is, before we go, is I want to really just kind of give us one thought, and it has to do with tying the gospel in to our praying. And as we tie the gospel into our praying, what it will do is it will fill us with a faith and a belief that God is able to save, and also that God willing, God wants to. There's a willingness on God's part to save them. The cross, so when you think about the gospel, what does the cross of Jesus Christ show us? The cross of Jesus Christ shows us, his death shows us, the heart of God. It shows us the compassion of God. It shows us the kindness of God. It shows us the willingness of God to save sinners. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8:31, this is a familiar scripture for most of us. The Bible says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do you see what Paul's doing in this verse? He's showing us that God was willing to do the most difficult thing in the universe, which was to give his son. Our God was willing to give his son as a sacrifice for us. And if that doesn't show you the heart of God's compassion, God's willingness to save. And so as I pray, and maybe I'm wondering about the willingness of God to move in our community, the willingness of God to move in our neighborhood, the willingness of God to save and bring to salvation those that are around us. God, do you really have a heart for this? And so when I begin to wonder about the willingness of God, I go to the cross and I see if God did not spare his own son but freely gave him for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So the cross today shows us the heart of compassion. It shows us the heart that God has to move and to save and to redeem. And then the resurrection, when we think about the resurrection, what does that show us? Well, that shows us the power of God, his ability to save, his ability to move. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. So the cross, God is saying, this is how much I love you. And in the resurrection, one of the things that God is saying is, this is how mighty and how powerful I am to work and to move and to redeem and to save. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And in this prayer, he highlights the power of Jesus Christ. And the way that he highlights the power of Jesus Christ is by focusing on the resurrection. He says in verse 15, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power." His power is so great it can't be measured. God's power is immeasurable. And notice how he describes the immeasurable greatness of his power. Verse 19, he wants us to know, he wants the church at Ephesus, he wants the church here at Suburban to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I have no doubt that some of you are praying for things right now in your life, but in the back of your mind, you doubt whether God has the power to actually do this. You doubt whether God has the ability. And so some of you are thinking about a relationship that is broken. Look, we're broken people, right? We're all broken people. We all bring our own junk. We all bring our own sin. Broken relationships are a part of this life. And so we think we're praying for this relationship, whatever it may be, and we just think that it's beyond help. God, you don't have the power or the ability to work in this relationship. And what God is saying today is, I want you to see that I am seated at the right hand, far above all rule and authority and power. There's no power above the power of Jesus Christ. There's no brokenness that he can't heal. God wants you today, as you are praying for that relationship, God wants you to focus on the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And if he raised Jesus from the dead, he can also bring life to that relationship that seems to be dead. Maybe today you're praying for a family member or a friend who's not saved. And you've been praying for them for a long time, and you think they're beyond God's help. They're beyond the Lord's reach. God's arm is not slack that he cannot save. But what God wants you to focus on today, as those doubts begin to fill your heart and mind that God can't save them, that they're beyond his reach, he wants you to look to the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And this is how we fill our prayers with the gospel. God, just as you powerfully rose Jesus from the dead, this family member, this friend who was unsaved, and the Bible describes in Ephesians 2 as dead in their sin, God, just as you raised Jesus, I pray that you will raise them from the dead and that you will give them life. And so as we focus on the gospel, the cross helps us to see the willingness of God, the heart. And so as we look at our community and our neighborhood, God is saying, through the cross, I love them. I love this neighborhood. I have a heart for this neighborhood. I have compassion for this neighborhood. I love them so much that I died on the cross for this neighborhood. And so it's at the cross that we see God's compassion and kindness and willingness. And so we don't have to doubt whether God is willing to move in our neighborhood. He is willing, and he wants to, and he has compassion. And then we think about the ability of God to do a mighty work of salvation and conversion and redeeming families. When we begin to doubt that, we say, well, God, just as you rose Jesus from the dead, you can bring to life those that are dead in this neighborhood. You have the power to do it. A few weeks ago, I shared with you an example of how George Mueller prays, uses the Word of God to lead him into prayer. And by the way, as you're hopefully many of you, and I know many of you are reading through your Bible this year and following our plan out there, it's amazing how the Word of God, as we meditate on it, how it does just lead us into prayer in so many ways. Well, I want to give you another example today as we close, and I'm going to close with this. I know you're probably shocked. You're saying it's only 5 after 11. But I wanted to close early, and I just really wanted us to focus on the gospel as we go out to our neighborhood. And I want us to focus on the compassion and the kindness and the love of Jesus that we see in the cross, so we know the willingness of Jesus to save our neighborhood. We see that in the cross. And the power, his ability to save and to redeem, we see that in the power of the resurrection. But I want to give you an encouragement, because I don't know how long. I mean, my prayer is that God will plant this church and grow this church until Jesus returns. And so God wants this church, he wants our church, to pray for the salvation of this neighborhood until Jesus returns. After I'm dead and gone, he wants us to continue to pray for the salvation of our community. Because we don't know when God's going to move. So George Mueller, again, lived in the 1800s. He was the one that God moved upon his heart to start orphanages throughout England for all the children who were abandoned and didn't have a place to stay. He started many orphanages, and it was his belief that that his God was able to provide for all their needs. So his philosophy for ministry was, I'm not going to ask a man for anything. I'm going to trust in my Heavenly Father to provide. And there were a number of stories where they didn't have food to eat. And Mueller is praying, and the people are praying, God, we're trusting in you to provide. And there were a number of times that at the end of the prayer, there was somebody at the door with food to feed the children. Well, it was this man who had five friends who were not saved. And it says, in November of 1844, Mueller says, I began to pray for the conversion of five individuals. I prayed every day without one single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land or in sea, and whatever the pressure of my engagements might be, I prayed every day for these five men. 18 months elapsed before the first of the five was converted. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. 6.5 years he's been praying to have been converted. I thank God for the second and prayed on for the other three. Day by day, I continue to pray for them, and 6 more years passed before the third was converted. That's about 12.5 years when the third was converted. I thank God for the three and went on praying for the other two. These two remain unconverted. The man to whom God in his riches of his grace has given thousands of answers to prayer in the very same hour of day on which they are offered has been praying day by day for nearly 36 years for the conversion of these last two individuals. And yet they remain unconverted. For next November, it will be 36 years since I began to pray for their conversion. But I hope in God, I pray on and look to God to answer. One of these persons was converted before Mueller's death. So that was 4. And the other one gave clear evidence of conversion after Mr. Mueller had passed away. God is calling us as a church to pray with that type of perseverance, to pray together, and to keep praying. What do you think enabled George Mueller to pray for 36 years for those last two? What do you think enabled him to pray day after day after day after day for their salvation? His faith. He believed, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, that God loved these men and God was willing to save them. And he believed, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God had the power and the ability to save them. And so today, as we go into our community, one of the things that the devil is going to try to do is to fill our minds with unbelief. God doesn't want to save the people in this neighborhood. God doesn't have the power, the ability to work in these families and bring healing and bring grace and bring light and bring salvation. And when those doubts begin to come into our mind, God wants to take us to the cross where we see his heart. And we see at the cross how much God loves these folks, how much God loves you. And at the cross, we see the willingness of God, the compassion of God to move. And then when we look to the resurrection, we see the mighty power of God to give life where there is no life. And so this morning, let's pray together. I believe the Holy Spirit is beginning to do a work in our church. I really do. I believe the Holy Spirit's beginning to do a work, and he's working in different ways. And as we continue to pray together, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to continue to bring us closer together as a church. He's going to continue to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's about doing his will. It's about reaching this community. One last verse before we pray and we go. And this was our Bible, this was in our reading this week. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Do you see how the gospel being shared to the nations is connected to the end of Jesus' return? So you know what that tells us as a church? It's our responsibility to take the gospel to this part of the world right here. Because that has a role to play in the return of Jesus. You know why Jesus hasn't returned yet? Because there's more people who need to be saved. And it's our responsibility to share that gospel with them. So what are we going to do as we go out? Those of you that are going to pray with us, we're going to pray that God will use us to be salt and light in this community. God, help us to get in line with your mission. Give us clarity, God, for how we can reach our community. Show us the ways that we can serve our community. Show us the way that we can wash their feet. Show us the ways, God, that we can love on them and care for them and be a servant to them. Show us, Lord, how we can demonstrate your heart, your kindness, your compassion. And I believe God will hear. I believe God is hearing. I believe that the Woodstock opportunity is part of God answering that prayer. And I believe the more that we continue to look out and see the harvest field, the more we're going to see the Spirit of God move. So let's close our service in a word of prayer. Do we have a closing? Living for Jesus. So after I pray, we're going to stand and we're going to sing Living for Jesus. And then those of you that want to walk out and pray, you know, if you need to use a bathroom or whatever you got to do, go ahead and do that. And we'll just kind of gather out there on the sidewalk in front of the steps, and we'll try to divide up into some groups and get your prayer, take your prayer list, your insert in your bulletin, and that can be a guide, but let the Lord lead us in our prayers, you know. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you today for your word, and Lord, we thank you and praise you for your presence and your Spirit, God, that has been here with us. We trust in you, Almighty God, to do a mighty work in our hearts as a church. Lord, as we prayer walk today, lift up our eyes. God, help us to see that the fields are white and ready for harvest. Lord God, give us a compassion. Jesus, just as you looked at the multitudes and the scripture says that your heart was filled with compassion, Jesus, give us that same compassion that you have. The same compassion that you had for us. The same power that we experience when you gave us life. Lord, I pray that we will experience that as we pray together today. And so, Lord, just pour out your Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, guide us as we pray together. And Lord, I pray that we will just all sense your presence as we pray together. In Jesus' name we pray.